Hello and welcome to Dopey, the podcast on drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. And my name is Dave. And I was very torn about what to do for today's replay. And I'm so caught up in this Nick Reiner story and this Reiner family tragedy. And last week when it happened, I rushed to put out a compilation of everything he had done on our show. And I missed a bunch. So I put out the first two episodes, which we had recorded together, and I put out a call he had done after Chris died. And I remembered there were other stories, and then I found the horrible Oy Vey hat clip that we played on the show on Friday. And then I remembered he had told this story about his dad taking care of him when he was tripping on LSD, and I found the episode, and it was me, him, and Chris. And then there was another episode where Chris and I interviewed Lilo Brancato Jr., the guy from The Bronx Tale, and Nick called in and told the story then too. And it just occurred to me, and I listened to them, and it really captured this very innocent time before the consequences of addiction and mental illness became so serious. And it reminded me of The Godfather. Like, I think it's at the end of The Godfather 2, they show a flashback of when everything was still good and not so horrible. And that's what this reminds me of. And I feel like the whole world is looking at this story. And I think it's important, since we had access to Nick before this happened, I think it's important to show the world what he was actually like, or what he was like in these two very short instances that we were all together. And I'm going to read a few of the comments from last week when we played Nick's thing on the show. Heavy Ink says, Nick sounds so disjointed, like he hasn't really thought out his real belief system on recovery. Kind of sounds like he just wants to get high once in a while or a lot. Just be honest about it. He had no, and that's the other thing in this episode that I'm about to play. He made a point of coming in totally soberly, and he admitted that the first two episodes he had drank and smoked weed before. All right. And this one says from Peyton W. They say, so fucked. The little moments where David urges Nick to work harder in recovery makes me sad. Nick calls in after Chris passed away and Dave asks what he's on. Nick says he's off the dope, but omitted his meth use. I wonder if meth psychosis brought him to these actions. Absolute tragedy. Sarah Clemente says the ripping of the vape. Zelda Marshall says, I think there will be much more to this horrific tragedy than meets the eye. Family dynamics can be unbelievably complex and damaging. I feel for the entire family. For someone to come to the point where they allegedly murder their parents in such a horrendous way, there will be a lot of factors at play. He does give credit to his parents on here. He doesn't seem to be blaming them. Let's see what comes to light. Wishing love and healing to all. Yeah. He talks about regretting blaming them at all. Here, Jonathan Bennett says, so I'm a first-time listener, same here because of what happened with the Reiners. First, great podcast, really open and interesting. Sorry you lost Chris. Second, Nick came across pretty well to me, seemed kind of okay. My guess, and I could be wrong, is that there will be some dark stuff in his past that somehow relates to his parents and that he just couldn't get over, and that with time, this turned into uncontrollable rage and resentment, but who knows? And then Michael Trengrove says, wow, imagine if he just stayed clean. Yeah, I mean, same with Chris. C says, honestly, the Dopey podcast is the only reason I'm familiar with the Reiner family. I saw the initial headline and immediately remembered that Nick had been on the podcast years ago. I then searched up Nick and saw he was the main suspect. Wild. Madeline Caroline said, this is so heartbreaking to listen to. He truly came off as so bitter and entitled. And then Damon 1956 says, aren't some appearances missing? And then Anthony J006, what is the song at the end of this? And the song is Good So Bad. It's a song I wrote with my friend Justin. And the ending we played on that show was Mike Mart, who was a member of Thelonious Monster and on Bob Forrest Don't Die podcast and engineered it. He recorded our version, a version of Good So Bad. Anyway, I'm very torn about putting this out, but I think it's important. So I'm putting it out. This is Nick Reiner, Chris O'Connor, and myself. Chris is so sweet in this episode, and all of this makes me miss Chris even more. And it's just, you know, it makes me think that all of us just need, all of us who are in recovery or anybody who's using, how important it is to try to get into program, because program can be the one thing that makes sure that you're safe. And I know that's kind of Pollyanna-ish, and hindsight is 20/20, but I know my program keeps me mostly safe. The first one I'm going to play was from Dopey episode 52. The second one I'm going to play is from Dopey episode 84. And then Chris went on another podcast called Don't Die Sacramento, and Nick gave a eulogy right after Chris died. So I'm going to play these three things, and I would love to hear your feedback. Those things that I read were from Spotify comments. If you leave a comment on Spotify and I read it, and you want some Dopey stickers, just send in an email to dopeypodcast@gmail.com, and we will send you some Dopey stickers. And if you want to listen to this without the inserted ads, you go to www.patreon.com/dopeypodcast. And all right, this is me, Nick, and Chris.
Hello, and welcome to Dopey, the podcast about drugs, addiction, and dumb shit. And today...
What's your name?
My name is Dave.
My name is Chris.
And we have an old friend back. You might remember him from many, 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 many weeks ago. His name is Nick Reiner, the first ever repeat guest on Dopey. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
We did have Ryan, graphic design Ryan, was on twice.
But those were back-to-backs.
Back-to-backs, yeah.
He was here.
This is weird. A repeat, yeah. Do you feel
Hopefully honored? I do better than graphic design Ryan.
Yeah.
He was all right.
Well, the real question is, do you feel honored to be back?
I do feel honored to be back. Nice. Especially because of what I thought this show initially was when I came here the first time.
Well, what did you think it was, and what do you think it is now?
Well, when I got your, like I said, when I got your message on Facebook, I thought you were some dude hitting on me, and then I just looked.
He still might be, by the way. Don't rule that possibility out.
Okay, but it turns out that at that moment he wasn't doing that, and he just wanted to get in contact with me to do this podcast. And I thought I saw, tell drug stories or whatever, so I came on, and I didn't know that you two were sober and AA, and I have a little bit of a different stance on that, so we got off to a little bit of a...
Yeah, Nick Reiner part one was a philosophical debate.
If you can call it that.
Yeah, and then Nick Reiner part two is a traditional Dopey episode. What is tonight going to be?
Tonight's going to be a traditional Dopey
episode. Yeah, we don't need...
Dave has a little cute little list.
I have a nice... It's not cute, it's a really... It's a thorough list.
With water on it.
It's, yeah, a little water on it, but it's a thorough list. It's our agenda.
What is the last thing on that list?
Well, I have something to address really quick. I hear you say all the time that Chris is this big asshole, and that you're the real dick, and that behind closed doors he says all these things, but, you know, you really, when it comes to showtime, he doesn't speak up.
No, that's not what I say.
Wait, what do you say about me?
What I say about you, I say to you, and I say on the show. You're an idiot, you've got no attention span, and most of all, you're a people pleaser. You're a mama's boy.
He loves going to people pleaser.
What's wrong with pleasing
that?
People?
Yeah, that's a generosity.
You tell me. Let me flip the script for a second. What's wrong with being a people pleaser, Chris?
Hypothetically speaking?
Let's start with hypothetically, sure. No, honestly, you suffer. It's one of your probably top three.
Do you even buy that you are that?
Yeah, I am a people pleaser, for sure.
Like, for sure, absolutely. Man.
Yeah, but also, I genuinely like most people that I meet, which is a positive quality. Being a people pleaser isn't necessarily a positive quality, but because I like most people, I want them also to like me. And so I might jeopardize my own values or beliefs in the effort of
making them like you.
Like, what's an instance of that? Like,
okay, let me tell a funny classic story. Okay. When John we had this guy, my good friend and drummer, John, on the show on our mental health episode. And then he came back and was the DJ on our DJ.
He was, like, produced. He, like, made beats and stuff.
It was really cool.
Yes, it was good.
Like Puff Daddy.
No, like Fred.
I will say it was the most amazing beat production I've ever seen a human being do.
Wow.
I
mean,
this is people proof.
Now I see what you're talking about.
So anyway, so we're
did
on
you
the,
hear that, John?
We're on the terrace, and John wanted, John's going to get mad at me for this, but I'm not a people pleaser. And John, I'm sorry. I love you. But John was like, he wanted to do every episode. He wanted to do sound effects for every episode, which would be cool. But here, it's too small. You know,
imagine if we had a fourth guy here, like, trying to do the beat.
Does Dopey Nation know what this here looks like?
No, describe it for us.
Yeah, please.
Well, I see in front of me a fish tank.
That's the first thing they would say.
Which Dave told Chris to fill before we started the show.
Right, and how did he treat me about that?
His tone was terse.
Terse tone! No.
Well, I mean, let's actually walk through, before you do the rest of the room, let's walk through exactly what happened with the fish tank. He said, fill the fish tank. I said, we're going to turn it off. And then he insisted
on you refilling it. And when he was asked for a reason why, there wasn't really one.
No. I'll tell you. There's two reasons. First of all, Nick does not know the historical precedent of the fish tank.
Okay.
Let me tell you the historical precedent. Chris comes in to the house, bubbly and gay, full of life and happy. It's like, ooh, let's do Dopey. Dave, I think the fish tank needs some water. I'm going to fill it.
You're saying that happened today?
No. This happened for months. He would walk in with a lot of
pep in his step.
I'm here. And he'd go, I'm going to fill the fish tank with water. And I said, I'll do it. He said, no, I'm good at this. I used to do it at Kripalu. This is one of my skills. I know how to pour it in. Am I right or wrong?
Yeah, I did say that.
And then every week.
I used to refill the teas at my old job, which involved.
What's wrong with him taking care of your fish tank, though?
You tell me.
Nothing.
So what's wrong with me? So then, here we are, and Chris finally has the sense to shut off the filter. I like the fish tank. When the fish tank is not running in my apartment,
it's
I feel anxiety.
Yeah.
I feel it already, now that I just mentioned it. Its silence is deadening in here.
So you didn't finish what you were saying, though.
My point is, you traditionally fill the tank, so now you gotta fill the fucking tank. That's the deal. That's your role. You're
change,
the tank filler.
Dude. Change.
Well, you didn't want... You love
people
filling the tank. Did you see... You didn't look at him, Nick, while he filled the
tank. I looked at your seething face.
No, I was like, excellent, he's filling my tank. No, he has this face. He carries it out like a little Roman pitcher guy.
Oh, and I was mocking you.
No. You didn't see his face.
I'm taking sides on this.
He's like, you're both going to try to gang up on me, and I welcome it.
Yeah.
Bring the noise.
Okay.
Bring it to me. I will...
All right, so after the fish tank, tell us more about this place.
Well, no, but then I want to talk about your face. He had this look of pride as he held the 5-pound coleslaw container up. And
I
then,
was actually laughing because I was spilling water on your amp beneath it, and I was like, I hope he doesn't see that.
It's a good thing it's not mine.
I believe what started this was we were trying to describe to Dopey Nation what the room we're in right now looks like. It is an L-shaped couch that's brown. There's a television. There's a lamp and just one center room that we're all sitting in. And to have a couple more people here might be problematic.
That's a horrible description.
Horrible description.
Give some
color.
It was
the worst description that's ever been given.
Well, the couch is brown.
I'm not here to give descriptions of interior design. Fucked up drug stories. So,
there you have it.
So, you know.
We got to hit him with some Dopey quick, I think. Or are we just going to...
I don't know.
Well, listen. The apartment is small. Fucking... We were talking about Chris's people-pleasing.
It's actually not small by New York standards. This is a spacious apartment.
To deal with Chris's people-pleasing, I just want to finish
you
the
You were
story.
The one that brought up that there was no space. I wasn't even going to...
No, it was not about the space. It's about the dynamic. It's like if you had an actual studio and there was another space for somebody doing effects and stuff, that would work. In here, though, and you should have seen Chris while John was playing the sound effects. Chris is like this, holding his ears, rocking. He couldn't concentrate.
I couldn't, yeah. As soon as he would play something when I was talking, my mind would just go blank.
So anyway, so I'm talking to Chris about how to tell John that he has to be on sometimes, but not all the time. And Chris says, just don't tell him I said it. And by accident, I hit the text record button or something, and I sent it to John.
And you sent what I said to him,
yes.
too.
Yeah. But that's all it was. It was just what you said.
Yeah. So he sent him a voice text message of me saying that, which would be like my worst nightmare.
So.
Did you do that on purpose?
No. I wish. I wish I was capable of pulling that kind of thing off.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point is...
Now I did the whole thing. The whole takeaway from that is I'm a dick for describing your apartment as small. Is it?
Oh, it's a very spacious apartment.
No, but you're trying to now do that to me and make me look like a...
Listen, I am not so subversive in me calling out people. Like, if I think you're a dick, I'm just going to say you're a fucking dick.
Dave is very comfortable with the size of his apartment.
Dude, it's a good apartment. I got an eating kitchen. I got a big bedroom.
Should we restart this? Maybe this is not...
Do not have any anxiety.
There's no restart.
There is no restart on
because in life you don't get restarts.
You don't get a second chance, or you do.
But Nick shows up at the apartment today, fucked up on crutches. His ankle is the size of a fucking Yule log. Look at it.
I saw it. He showed me a thing of it.
Oh my goodness! So why don't you tell us what happened?
Okay. Well, my birthday was on the September 14th.
Happy birthday. That's months
happy
ago.
Birthday,
happy
yeah.
birthday. And how old are you?
I just turned 23.
Wow, he was 20 double deuces on Dopey. I had no idea. I thought you were 23 and now you're 24.
Michael Jordan.
Nice.
So I like 23. It's nice.
I love 23.
The birthday was not great. I didn't really do anything. I went out and, you know, I didn't really do anything. But the next day, I went out and... I thought I'd been, you know, I'd been playing basketball ever since I got to New York like 2 weeks ago, random parks, and I thought I was pretty good, and I thought I could hang at the 4th Street courts.
So legendary court.
Legendary court.
It's
was
4th and what?
It's 6th.
Legendary court, lots of good players go there. You gotta wait, there's crowds watching, you gotta wait like an hour to even get in the game, so I went, I... gotten in finally in the game.
Hold on, hold on. Before you got to 4th Street, when you were playing around your place, who were you playing?
When I was playing around my place.
Like, you were saying you were feeling confident that you could bring your game to 4th Street.
I played at a lower grade park.
Like, who are the people playing there?
Scrubs. I mean, they're not great. They're
what ethnicity were the people you were playing against?
Oh, come on. Let's just say I
was
among one other...
Fact.
I was white. Me and another white guy were the only white guys.
Okay, respect.
Wait, on 4th Street or by your
on
place?
On 4th Street.
No, but by
and
your
and
place.
By the other place. It's more... I mean, listen, you're at a basketball court.
So you sound like you're profiling right now.
You pitted me into this corner to do this. I'm just trying to tell you what happened in the duration of the basketball game.
Okay.
So I get in, and much to everybody's surprise, I'm doing well.
He's white chocolate over here.
I'm
looking at him. He's
to your own surprise, too?
To my own surprise as well. I laid this one thing in, and then I hit it like a jump shot on the baseline, and then this dude was guarding me. He wasn't very good, but like a lot of people here in New York like to do the Lance Stevenson, where they just like dribble, dribble, dribble. What?
Wait, continue the dribble, but was the one guy who was guarding you, was he the other white guy?
No, he was not. He was a black man. He was a black man with dreads, long dreads on. Right. And I didn't think he was particularly that good, but he kind of was moving around, and I was moving with him, and I wanted to show that I could, you know, play lockdown D.
Yeah.
And I just took a wrong step in some new shoes, and I just tweaked my ankle, and the second I fell down, like,
everybody started
just,
yo, he crossed you over.
Yeah.
Homie.
Oh, and they started roaring and laughing.
Well, that's a classic street basketball moment when somebody does the crossover and the other guy falls down.
Yeah, it's a breaking ankles.
Breaking and somebody's ankles.
I don't want to be the
ankle broken white boy.
The goofy white guy that's flailing on the court. So I got up and I finished the game. And when I got back home, I realized that I think I'd done something really terrible to my ankle. And then
it looks horrible, Dopey Nation.
Horrible.
It looks pretty bad. We'll put a picture.
And that night, I got a drinking citation too. To put the cherry on top.
No, dude, you just killed half of my
right.
I have a huge agenda here. That was going to be 20 minutes.
Fuck it.
Show.
I mean, I don't know. I just said it. I didn't mean to.
So where?
Red flag.
So
that.
Let me ask you a different question though. When the game ended, the dreadlocks guy, did you slap hands and talk to him?
He was, I think he was unimpressed with me after that.
Did you talk to him at all after
No.
Did he smack your ass?
Did you guys all shake hands after? Did they do that?
No, I chose to get it out of there as quickly as I could.
Oh, okay.
Because I was just so embarrassed.
Put your tail between your legs.
Yeah, and like I was just trying to play through the pain and look cool, but it ultimately
probably exacerbated your injury.
Yeah, but basketball was great for me because, like, going along with what we said the other day on Dopey about, like, how, like, what Chris was saying about yoga,
yeah,
and just how, like, that was, like, a great filler. And, like, I've always played ball ever since I was a little kid, like, ever since I was six. And I had a knee injury, so I've had, like, lots of ankle problems and stuff like that. But I still love to just go to the park and play. It's, like, a great release for me. And
yeah,
it's exercise, too. And now that I don't have that, I am a little worried that I might...
What will you do?
Yeah, what? Yeah, like,
you're
what will I...
You're stuck alone with that thing between your ears.
Yeah. And not to mention an injury, which
yeah,
which is a, an easy way to get with...
I think I feel the pain.
Yeah.
It's intolerable!
Before we get to the citation, which I cannot...
I didn't even bring it up.
You gotta give Nick some serious credit.
Yeah, I'm such a coward. Even if I was amazing at basketball, first of all.
I'm not talking about playing basketball.
What?
That's not the credit.
Chris doesn't want to give me credit for that because he doesn't think it's a big deal.
No, the credit I want to give Nick... The credit I want to give Nick is he went to the fucking... Did you go to the ER or you went to a walk-in?
I went to a urgent care.
Urgent care. And they offered him... They're like, you can have Percocet. You can have Vicodin. Do you prefer Oxycontin? Can I have Flacco on the corner offer
yeah,
you a little bag? And Nick said, no, I'm recording Dopey and I need to be straight.
Well, to clarify, it happened sort of in a... Like, I'm not going to lie. I had this injury, and the second I saw what it looked like, of course, I'm a junkie. I'm going to go, I can get pain pills for this.
Yeah.
I can get that.
Yes.
And so I went into the... I'm not going to lie and say I didn't have that in my head. And
but
I think a lot of people make the mistake of saying, oh, I don't even have the craving for it.
Yeah, you
so
acknowledge it is the first... That's what's
yeah,
most
I said,
important.
I know
yeah,
this is going to happen. I know I'm going to go there. And so I went there... And usually when I go to a doctor for some injury, I'm, like, lobbying. Like,
yeah,
you know,
sure,
trying to, oh, it really hurts. You know, I've done everything. I've done ice. I've done Advil. And
that's just the go-to. I mean, it's almost impossible to imagine going someplace in pain and not just having
the ability. You know they ask you your pain 1 to 10?
Yeah.
I always would say 11.
Would you really?
Yeah.
Turn up to 11?
Yeah.
You know, his father invented that phrase.
Let me get to the porn star doctor.
Wait, do you know that?
What phrase?
That to turn it up to 11 came from his father.
What does that mean?
There's a movie called Spinal Tap, and in it...
This is Spinal Tap?
This is Spinal Tap.
I haven't seen it.
And
since we want our amps to go up to 11.
Yeah, because they want it to go one notch louder. And
oh, okay,
the argument's, why not just make it 10 and that be the loudest? And he's like, but this one goes to 11.
That was Chris's pain.
That was my
wet,
shitty Chris Guest impression.
It was
all
good.
Right.
Okay.
What was right. So I was. Let me get to the porn star doctor because it's actually really good.
At urgent care.
Yeah, she comes in and I make the decision. Okay, I'm not going to lobby to get any pills. I'm just going to sit here, let this woman do her job, and tell me what the deal is. And so she looked at it and she was smoking hot too. She looked at it.
What'd
and
she look like?
Like, literally, like, central casting out of a porn star doctor.
Dude, you probably have her name on your paperwork. We could look her up and try to friend
and
her.
I could, like, hook up
something
with her or something. And, no, I don't know. But she was like, she basically said, like, hey, you know, would you like some pain pills for this?
What did she offer? Did you say what kind?
No. I just didn't say anything. And I was thinking of saying yes, and then I said, oh, wait, I'm going on Dopey tomorrow. What if I just didn't do this? What if I just didn't get pain pills? And I didn't get them. So I can come here today and tell you that I did
that. Legitimately factored in your thinking.
Legitimately factored in. I used
it. How about that?
I used
it. There you go.
I used that as motivation to not do it.
That's good.
Four words. Stay strong, Dopey Nation.
Stay strong, Dopey Nation.
No, but it's like, I think that's cool. He also didn't, you know, me and Nick were hanging out and he confessed that he... And I put in quotations because I love this quotation that he smokes weed like Snoop Dogg. And today, no weed.
I don't remember saying it, but
you did.
I like that line.
Yeah,
I'll use it.
You did.
Were probably high when you said it.
You were. You were definitely high when you said it.
What are you talking about?
My point being, Nick came back to the show. No booze, no weed, no pain pills. To be crystal clear. For Dopey, and I applaud you for it.
Did they know I was not crystal clear the first time?
No, we haven't talked about that.
Well, now they know.
Now they know. Yeah.
Well, I didn't even know that though.
I knew.
He knew. I didn't
fucking
know.
Fucking Nick
I just
Reiner came on Dopey drunk and stoned.
That is crazy.
You didn't seem drunk and stoned.
I wasn't. Because I wasn't drunk and stoned. I had smoked a little pot and drank a beer before I came because I didn't think that...
Do you know that in the state of New York, buzz driving is considered drunk
good
driving?
Good thing I wasn't driving.
Yes.
But I feel like I should cop to that because, A, I didn't know it was a bad thing. That when I was coming over here.
Yeah.
And B, it's just, I want to be honest about it. Because today I came in crystal clear, as you can tell already.
Like a fucking crystal.
Sharp as a damn tack.
Like a tack. Doesn't it feel good?
And I don't want to say that it's a bad thing. I don't like using that connotation.
Which?
He said he didn't know it was a bad thing to come over here like that.
It's a totally bad thing.
Yeah, but I just don't like using that language.
It wouldn't... Okay, well, what is happening?
Maybe non-useful.
He doesn't want to put a value judgment on it that you were here. But it was not useful to come drunk and stoned to Dopey. Not to mention,
he was bad.
Nick left here covered in sweat. He was worked up. Chris, yes or no?
Yes, but are you trying to like link that back to the beer in the pot somehow?
Nah, I'm just painting a picture. I paint with words. Words are my palette, and I paint. And you're cool as a cucumber.
Why don't we actually pause for a second and have you describe the room? Let's test those words.
I will. When you walk in to the sweeping flow of
oh, you're doing great.
Thank you. Of pristine white walls, you walk past a busted glass table with 3-year-old eucalyptus on it. You walk past a 6-year-old's easel that has not been painted on in years.
A graveyard of Fisher Price.
I think Dopey Nation could be the judge of this one, but I think I gave a more succinct, more.
I haven't gotten to the meat of it.
Okay.
It was a graveyard of toys.
There's a lot of fluff.
Fucked up fish tank.
There's a lot of fluff here.
Cure for AIDS in there. You walk in. You got pictures. You got old wood on the side. You got guitars strewn around the room. Papers, things, harmonicas, crap, cigarettes, lighters.
Come on, your cigarettes there.
Please, feel free. Books, remote controls with batteries exposed.
All right, that was good.
Thank you.
That was great.
Thank you. You want me to play Old Susanna on the harmonica?
He's doing it anyways. Hey, that's pretty good.
He's musically talented.
It's Bob Dylan in the room with us.
He's good. Have you heard his music? His music's
not
good.
I love that. That was great.
Thank you. I didn't write "Oh Susanna," but yes.
I know, but missing some sly guitar, and that's a hit, right?
It's not bad. I want to get to, before we do a story, I had an idea, which is I would like Chris to read...
No current events.
No.
Okay.
The Dopey review of the day. I want to take a page from our rivals
out
there.
You want me to read a recent email?
No, the Dopey review of the day.
Because we want to read Nick's review?
You guys don't even know what you're doing right now.
Sure we do.
Are we taking an iTunes review?
Yes.
What are you saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Which review? Who's it from?
Well, we have two reviews that are in the last week.
Maybe you should read the bad review.
Do we feel like this podcast? This?
Oh yeah, we should read the bad review, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
I haven't heard anything bad yet, so.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll read the bad review. Luckily, it's buried at the bottom. That means that people downvoted it or said it was unhelpful.
You know who said it?
The person who remains.
No. Do you know who said it was unhelpful?
No.
Oh, me?
You did?
Yes, I find that review not useful at all. All
right, so this person said, we got to stop talking about this.
I'll never.
This is the final one. She said, the subject is no longer funny. And she writes,
okay.
Be careful if you write in or otherwise contact this show. Anything you say may be used or shared out of context as fodder for laughs. They will not bleep your name even if you request that they no longer continue to use your name or communications.
That's not true.
You might get apologies, but the very next week your name will be used in a humiliating way once again.
Well, we used her name, but only her first name.
I feel like we said good things.
But she said that you continue to use a name after you're told not to, which is not right.
We cut her name shorter.
Yeah.
We just used less of her name.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah, and it was a pretty... like
that's not too. Is that the worst?
That's
thing
the worst
got?
Review.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on!
Now read a good one.
It's 5-star.
Oh, go back. Yes,
that was actually a 2-star.
That was a 2. She gave us 2 though instead of 1. Which one am I going to read?
How sweet.
You pick, I don't care.
Should I read Nick's? Nick's left a Nick left.
No, Nick's here.
All right.
They don't want to know my review?
You can read Nick's too, but read it. All
right, this is good. Let's do Eric's. He said, I have to say, the Dave and I have to say, it's not written perfectly, but I'm going to improvise. I have to say that Dave and Chris have amazing creativity and ingenuity by creating this podcast.
Yes.
It is what most would never be able to tell and most would never experience in 100 lives.
Yes.
The stories told are of the gut-wrenching truth, and through listening to them so far, I think of famous phrase, it is better to regret something you have done instead of haven't done. I hope to one day meet them in person, as I can truly identify with the stories and recovery aspects of the podcast. And I only wish them continued success and love what they are doing. Much love and respect, Eric.
Nice. Nice review.
Thank you, Eric.
What do you think about that, Nick? Would you say it's better to regret the stuff you do or the stuff you haven't done?
I don't, not like, I'm going to say some profound thing, but I don't believe in, like, regretting anything, because, like, some of the worst stuff that's ever happened to me has resulted in, like, a good story or, like, a good time of retelling it at a party. I mean, it always comes back around to, I think of everything as material. Like, even the worst stuff is the best material.
You want a quote here?
Yeah.
The fire of suffering brings forth the gold of godliness.
Who said that?
Who's the author?
Some French nun.
Some nice. French nun.
Yeah.
Sister Madeline. Using
the Purpose-Driven Life, which I read in jail.
Nice. All right. Well, there you go. That was a good review. And I want...
Wait, so what is the number one thing that you regret if you had to pick something?
I mean, pushing back against my parents as many times as I did. But if I don't think if I hadn't have done that, they would have still... I'd still be in a program right now. If I hadn't advocated for what I thought I really needed at the time and not to be shipped from one place to another.
You would still be being shipped around and
yeah.
shuffled around slippers.
I mean, at the time, it probably made me stay in the places longer, but in the long run, I believe it probably showed them a little. I was just trying to say something, but look, hey, I'm not going to get better as many times as you force me to.
Yeah.
Or get better on... in this way, in your turn.
So it's simultaneously a regret and something that you're okay with that you did.
There's no regret. What are you guys talking about?
I can't
about?
Regretting that he What's went against his parents a lot. But at the same time, he thinks he had to.
So there's no
regret. I regret blaming them for it.
You regret blaming them?
Yeah, I do.
What's your big regret there, wise guy?
It would be exploiting... Same thing, family. Exploiting... my dad's fear of this disease to stay sick. I was so afraid I was going to go to prison. I was going to do something. At one point, Nick, I was like on the street, and I was never on it for a long time because I knew if I called my dad, he'd put me in some cushy rehab somewhere. Uh-huh. But I was on the street, and I was like really hungry, and I was running around with this girl. This is like not even that bad, but I think of it, and it's like one of like the worst things I consciously did. It's so silly, you know? I did much worse things, like... in terms of exploiting both my parents, but I went to this one restaurant and I just got shit faced and ate a bunch of food because I was hungry.
Was it like a diner or what?
It was like a Mexican place in Southern California.
Cerveza.
Yeah, so it was like tequila and no, it was like a family place where people didn't drink, and I got like wasted, had a bunch of food, and then when the check came, I just wrote my dad's number on the check, and I said, and I hadn't talked to my dad in like 2 months, and I was like, just call this guy. And I left. But that's like...
And they let you get out like that?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest shit I ever heard.
And he called him and then he paid because he was nervous I was going to like, you know...
They should have fucking beaten your ass, thrown you in jail for not paying the bill. If you tried doing
that
here...
I was very
here,
loud and boisterous. Oh yeah, that wouldn't go over in New York.
Yeah, try here, call this number. Fuck you. We'll call this number 911.
Yeah.
That's the number
it depends on what you're defining as a regret. Like what his story is at like a restaurant. Like... sure, I regret something I said to a girl last night, like a terrible pickup.
What did you say?
I mean, I probably said some stupid thing like... I mean, I say a bunch of stupid shit all the time.
Tell me a stupid pickup line that you've used. Tell me one of your biggest follies with women recently. Other than fingering my butthole.
Did you say, is that a mirror in your pocket? Because I can see myself in your pants.
I'm not a pickup line guy. I'm like, if you're around to capture... I mean, I'm not a ladies' man by any means, but I don't really have a technique. Really? Just whatever falls into my lap.
You know what I did recently that you might appreciate?
What?
I went out to dinner with one of my old friends. I hadn't seen him in like 7 years. And the hostess was really cute. And so when we were leaving, I went up to her and I said, I just want to let you know you're really cute. What's your name? And she told me her name. And she was like kind of weirded out. And then I left and I looked up the number for the restaurant and I called the restaurant and asked her out.
That's pretty bold.
I said, I'm the guy who said you were cute.
And what happened?
She has a boyfriend.
Oh, I actually...
No, she doesn't.
Probably not.
Dude, but this is his move. That was his same move with Caitlin. You do the same thing every time.
I know, I did it with Caitlin.
You want to hear 20
first? Caitlin was the only AA person I've ever asked out, ever. Thank you.
What you just said...
Thank you.
Reminded me of something that happened the other night, actually.
Okay.
I was at a bar, and I was actually outside of a bar, and I was smoking a cigarette, and a girl came up to me, and she was very pretty, and I gave her one, and then I, like, Instagram messaged her, and it said on her page that she was Jewish, so my first line was, my mother told me to marry a Jew, so ... And she found it funny, so...
She liked it.
She liked it. It went over. We riffed on that for a second, and then...
So she was like, wait, isn't your dad Rob Reiner?
She didn't... No, you did that. You would do that. Yeah.
Well, come on.
She didn't do that. No.
What did she do?
She was like, I want to fuck you right now.
And then you said...
No, she didn't say that, but...
What did you say?
Was this from Horny to Shark?
Yeah, that was from Horny to Shark.
Can I reveal what Horny to Shark is on this?
Yeah.
Horny to Shark is Nick's Instagram moniker.
Moniker.
He doesn't go by Nick Reiner, because that's her defunct account.
Yeah, debunked.
That's the one that I send messages to.
Yeah, he sent a message to it once.
And then complained that I didn't
respond. What is Horny to Shark? What's the history with that?
It is an inside joke that for some reason appeals to all audiences.
Oh. Let's hear the joke.
There's no real joke. It was just me and my friends, we would act stupid sometimes, like try to freestyle or whatever. And we wanted to make it so ridiculous that I gave myself the name Horny to Shark. I really don't know the genesis of Horny to Shark, but it's there now.
Let's slam some dopey in here, because I feel like we need to hit...
No, I want to tell...
Nick slammed Wellbutrin. Let's just talk about that.
Just outing me.
Come on.
Like it is. you've done the same.
I'll tell him mine. You tell him yours. I'll tell him mine.
I'll tell you the abridged version.
Yes.
Okay, so...
For the Dopey Nation, Wellbutrin.
You don't
want
to hear my lady's story?
No,
I have one this week.
Nobody wants to hear your story.
I have something crazy.
Should we let him go?
What the fuck, man?
All right, go ahead. I'll go
no,
ahead.
Take my show. You can do my show.
Oh, your
talk over the sirens.
Your show. That's very telling.
Yep.
Very.
Tell your shooting. Tell your shooting. Tell your shooting.
I
want to
hear. I decline. I decline.
No, I don't want to tell it anymore.
Hey, I don't feel like I'm going to be able to tell it in a good way because Dave's going to be brooding all the time.
Yeah, he's brooding. Look at him.
Well, I don't like being shut out of the show.
Okay, let's hear it. I'm very curious.
It's him that does it.
Now
he reminds me of my sister. When I was a little kid, right, if I had friends over, my sister would try to hang out with my friends and then not hang out with me, and that's just what Chris is like.
You sound like a little girl.
Well, now I feel like a little girl. Now tell your story.
No, I really want to hear it.
No,
yeah,
you've ruined
it. Dave, you made too much of a fuss.
I won't tell it. No, I won't tell it.
Nick and I declined to speak until you tell the story.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm at work, and I'm making a check for this woman, and she's like old, but she's kind of hot. Like she's wearing like workout clothes.
Why are you whispering?
Because
he doesn't want Linda to hear
the story.
Do I have to bleep that?
No. So she's kind of hot, but she's very old.
Yeah,
like, old.
Like but, over 50?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm kind of like into it anyway, and I'm writing the check out. And she goes, are you going to give me your number? And I said...
No, really?
Yeah, I said, excuse me?
You don't have to do anything.
Oh, yeah. Dude, well, I'm sitting there like, And I said, no, I'm engaged. Yeah. And she said, oh. And I said, why, did you want it? And she said, yes. And I said, thank you very much.
Wow.
Aren't you glad I told the story now?
Yeah, that's a good story.
How about when I got back with her, with my daughter's mother, some other girl did the same thing. And I said, no, I'm not giving you my
at your place of work?
Yeah.
Happens. Does it ever happen to you?
I'm incredibly dashing.
A woman coming on to you like that?
I'm incredibly dashing.
Well, you know what? He's saying she's 50. I bet she was a crow.
Dude, she was 60, but hot.
That happened all the time at Kripalu. Old yoga chick. They were gorgeous.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah. She wasn't hot. She was just like...
The thought of it was hot.
It was exciting, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it was exciting, but still... It was just... It's nice to be noticed. That's all.
So Nick shot Will Buchanan.
I did. One time.
For the Dopey Nation, Wellbutrin is a...
antidepressant with a little bit of hop to it.
Yeah, dopaminergic. People would sniff it in jail. Very low abuse potential, but a tiny smidgen of abuse capability.
I won't go into the gritty details, but I befriended a homeless man in Maine, and he turned me on to the idea... And we went.
Was that where you shot coke in the McDonald's?
No, he shot crack. You were shooting all sorts of weird shit in Maine.
I know, I was shooting weird shit in Maine. Shooting weird shit in Maine, yeah.
That should be the name of this.
Well, it was funny because it was kind of romantic. Me and this homeless guy were sitting like under this birch tree.
Were you sharing a plate of spaghetti?
There was shade and like needles around and like just like this.
Like pine needles or like hypodermic needles?
Like needles. Like, yeah, like hypodermic needles.
And pine needles?
Yeah, he's like, watch out. Don't sit on anything. And I was like, okay, I'll just find a good spot then. And
like, what did he look like? Was he like a hobo?
It was also romantic because it was a little vacation for you in like hobo land.
Yeah.
Little did he know that you come from a family that has a ton of money.
I think after I shot up the Wellbutrin, I did end up, he was a fan of All in the Family.
I was going
to
ask that.
I think we talked about that for a second, and he didn't believe me to the point of where I had to take up my ID and show him that my last name was Reiner.
You should have called your dad.
He was like, no. What do you do? Because he didn't.
How old was he?
Rob Reiner said would not be under a birch tree shooting Wellbutrin.
Right? You know he's shooting Wellbutrin with someone else right now saying, do you know I used to shoot Wellbutrin with Rob Reiner? Son.
And the guy's going, you fucking liar.
Yeah. And then did he take a picture of your ID on his phone?
Did he
have a phone?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Was he a legit homeless guy or was he like...
Oh, he was legit. The real homeless. I wasn't even his homeless. I mean, I was just for a few
weeks. Well, because you know there's like the street addicts who are like, no, kind of like, you know, it was a real homeless man.
This dude was worn and torn.
Worn and torn. Sleeping rough.
What did he look like? Did he wear like two coats?
He was rugged.
Did he smell?
I don't remember his scent too well. I wasn't smelling too great either. So,
what did his hair look like? Sandy?
It was slicked back with grease in a ponytail.
Really?
Yeah. And he wasn't a very interesting man. He just...
What was his name?
Straight to the point kind of guy.
Was his name Randy?
His name was Randy. No, I really don't
remember. How'd you get Wellbutrin? Did you cop it on the street?
The way I got Wellbutrin is actually really fun. I was at Alina Lodge, and they, I don't know if I told this last week, but they refused to give me meds. So to prove I was crazy, because they were like, you don't need any meds.
Yeah, they're
and I was
pretty
like, freaking out. And I was like, you don't think I need meds? And they're like, yeah, we think you're just all up to an act here, and this is all just fake. And I said, okay. And then I went back to, you know, the Roost. Remember the Roost?
No.
That's what they called the little barracks.
Okay.
And I was like, how do I show these motherfuckers that I'm crazy?
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll throw a rock through a window.
Yeah.
So I started walking, and they have this thing there that they love. You know, that little church. It's not a church, really.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
like they were building that when I was there.
It's like a meeting room that is like, has these big glass windows. And, they loved it, and they always were like, Mrs. Delaney was here when they built this, and I hated that whole thing. So I took a rock, and I started on the path, and I was going up this hill, and my friend Peter's like, where are you going, man? And I was like, can't talk right now, I just gotta do this. Yeah. And I went, and I threw the rock through the window, and some woman saw me, and she ratted on me, and then they put me on Wellbutrin.
And so then they discharged you with your prescription. They dropped you off at Salvation Army with your Wellbutrin?
Yeah, I had Wellbutrin there.
Yeah.
That's how I had it.
I told you the story of when I thought maybe I needed to be on antidepressants, and I wanted to quit smoking, so I went to the shrink to get Wellbutrin. And he's like, so this might make you a little bit speedy. Maybe I should... And I told him my whole drug history.
Yeah.
And he said, maybe I should prescribe you a benzo. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. Yeah. He was like, oh, well, what would you like? I was like, I like those really big Xanaxes. I think they call them sticks, 2 milligrams.
You didn't play it off
you
like...
You said that?
Yeah, you didn't play it off like, you think it's a good idea? You think I need something
I
like
usually
that?
No, this is what I would
I went,
do.
I went right
no, what, I, what I always would do in those situations is I'd say the generic thing. So for Xanax is alprazolam. And I'd be like, I was on like two of like... a Prazihan.
Yeah, forgetting the name. Yeah, pretending
like
to forget the name.
Say it wrong because like, I don't even know so really much. What it was.
But I had sat there with
Papa's. I'm not really sure the name. I can't remember. Yeah.
I had sat with the doctor going over. I shot heroin for 5 years. I was on methadone for 6 years.
Oh, so you couldn't play
like
dumb.
I'm not. Yeah, it's like he was like.
So he's the worst doctor ever.
Yes, he's like maybe you could use a benzo. I was like, yes, I would prefer Xanax and 2 milligram sticks. I'll break them in half every day and take one half at a time. He goes, no problem.
How many? 60.
Yeah, 60.
So you basically prescribed yourself Xanax.
Yeah, yeah, but that was the beginning of the end for me. That was a bad, bad, bad one.
Benzos are the devil.
They are.
They don't even do anything until you're like, oh, it's 2 days later and I've done all this stupid shit.
The worst
thing I like taking, I'm like, I don't feel it. I just keep taking it and taking it. I'm pretty sure there's a bundle, a little baggie of Xanny bars somewhere in my parents' house. Because I know I had a whole bunch of
them. That was the worst detox I've ever had in my life.
Coming off, yeah, and it lasts forever.
Yeah.
So bad.
It was scary too because they said he could die.
Yeah, benzos and booze.
Dude, do you know how many seizures I've had coming off benzos?
Tell the seizure story.
Do you want to hear the seizure story?
Wait, should I tell my shooting Gino?
You've told it.
I feel like he should tell it.
I told it like 20 episodes.
He hung me out to dry.
Who did?
Chris. To the Wellbutrin. He said the Wellbutrin, and I'll repeat it. I mean, you said Stern repeat stuff. I repeat stuff.
Sure.
So Nick told me before the episode starts how he shot Wellbutrin, and I told him a story where I cheeked my meds in rehab once, and I had this big syringe. It was a 5cc, like, IM for, like, it looked like it was, like, for horses. The fucking gauge on the needle was probably, like, 18. It was huge, like, not meant to mainline. And I was just cheeking my meds and injecting them. So I cheeked this stuff called Geodome, which is this, like, non-sleepy antipsychotic. And I mixed it up with the water, and I drew blood to inject it. And literally the blood would not mix.
Why? Because it was like thick.
I don't know what it was. It just wouldn't mix where it was like water and oil.
The blood was like, I don't want to touch it. I don't want to be with that.
Like, it was like maple
milky
syrup,
white.
Right?
It was like, yeah, it was thicker. It was like thicker and it was like milky white. It was like in the syringe, it was like my blood and then like milky white Geodome
solution.
That is
truly disgusting.
And I was like, in my head, I was like, I probably shouldn't shoot this because, like, it's not mixing with my blood. And I was just like,
and you did.
Fuck it.
No, that's some serious vampire shit because your blood didn't like it.
I know.
Your blood was like, I don't want to touch that stuff.
Yeah, I know.
And you're like, sorry, guys.
And then my lungs took it. My lungs were like, what did you do to me? It felt like my lungs were full of cotton balls after I shot it.
Thinking about it now, I think Wellbutrin was the last thing I've ever shot. That
really?
That was the last time I ever shot up.
That was, oh, wow. The homeless man.
So
that was good. We hit him with some dopey. That was some.
And
some,
hold on
some
though. Hold on though. I Chris or Nick said something really funny. What did it taste like?
It tasted like I had just stepped up into a hot old attic, and I was just like in a cellar, and there was like.
They should put it on the bottle. Warning: Do not shoot Wellbutrin, for a musty taste might come to your mouth.
Do you need to say more besides "Don't shoot Wellbutrin"?
Right.
Do you know Zyban, the anti-smoking drug?
Yeah.
Before like Chantix back in the day, is just Wellbutrin, and like you could get Zyban really cheap, and you could like order it like for the, like online, and they'd have those little physicians like write you a script even they didn't see you like legally, and it was the same thing as Wellbutrin.
It's such a bummer to me, this smoking thing. I like...
What's smoking?
Just, I can't stop smoking cigarettes.
I can't even listen to you talk about it.
It's just
you've
so annoying.
You've been smoking cigarettes for 20 years.
That makes
Shut
me...
Up.
That's depressing me, honestly, because I don't want to be saying that in 20 years.
I want to stop smoking, and I got, like, a couple days with the stupid vape, but then I wrecked the vape. It, like, turned
How
on...
How did
in
you
my...
wreck it? I've had this thing for, like, 2 years.
Well, you don't live like me. I'm very, very messy and stupid. I put it in the top pocket of my book bag and, like, leaned on it, and it just started vaping for hours in the thing. But,
what are you going to do when you move? Are you going to have a cleaning lady?
No. Yeah, we are. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. They have a cleaning lady already.
Yeah.
Why not? Why not have a cleaning lady? I can pay for it. I work.
Yeah.
You know? I pay for my cleaning lady. I want to tell Nick my seizure story. I think he'll think it's funny. I used to fucking seize, like, everywhere. Like, I would... Because I was such a fucking horrible benzo addict. And I had my first seizure, like... I don't remember my first seizure, but I've seized on airplanes. They, like, wheeled me off of airplanes. I've seized in detoxes where I'm playing guitar on a fucking picnic table and I fall out and I wake up in the ambulance. I seized on my loft bed, fell out of the loft bed onto a glass bong, which shattered, which I still have, like, scars all over me from. And just I woke up in the hospital and they, like, CAT scan me. And they find, like, that my brain shrunk. That's my father's favorite story.
He's
like,
why is that his favorite story?
Because he's like, your brain.
Brain.
You know, my shitty son, he's got a tiny brain.
No, because it's like, it's proof for a parent to be like, you really shouldn't do drugs because your brain is going to shrink. I was like, Dad, it's going to expand again.
Like, that would be a deterrent for you?
Well, no, because the doctor said that there could be holes in the brain, but my brain had just shrunk a little. I was like, see, Dad, there's no holes in there. It just shrunk a little bit. But my favorite seizure story was years later, and I'm with my buddy Todd, and Todd is the guest I want more than, like, Steven Tyler or Artie Lang. But Todd, and we're letting you on the show, and we won't let Todd on the show, but that's a whole other story. I'm sorry, Todd, if Todd's listening. But Todd doesn't pay for Wi-Fi, so he can't listen. So me and Todd are in my apartment in Astoria, and we just got all sorts of dope, and I'm shooting dope, and Todd wouldn't shoot dope. Todd's a pussy. He just snorted dope. And I didn't realize that I was going into benzo withdrawal, but I hadn't been able to find benzos, and I just didn't notice. And me and Todd are just kind of chilling and smoking weed and watching Beverly Hills 90210, and I'm shooting dope, and he's sniffing dope.
The most offensive part of that was in Beverly Hills 90210.
No, me and Todd would fucking get high. Todd lived in my apartment for years, and we would, every Sunday, they would, like, play, like, 10 episodes, and we would just do dope and watch 90210. And anyway, so this time, we're getting hungry, and I'm like, we should order some Mexican food. And he's like, all right, man, whatever. So we order some Mexican food, and we're getting high and whatever. And the next thing I know, I fucking seize, and I just fall out. And Todd freaks out. He's like, Todd's like a nervous wreck. He's like, I don't know what's going on. And then there's a knock at the door. And Todd's like, oh, my God, there's a knock. Todd's like, what is this? Who's here? There's a knock at the door. And he runs to the door, and he opens the door, and it's the delivery guy. But Todd, like, somehow he faints as he opens the door.
So you're both down on the ground with the piece of delivery.
But the door is open. Todd's prone on the floor.
So the only guy that was up when he fell over?
But so the Mexican delivery guy is standing there. There's just people passed out.
Two dead bodies.
I'm in another room. Todd's fucking out at the door. And I somehow magically come to at this moment. I get up. I'm like, I figured I nodded out. I didn't even know I had a seizure. And I get to the door, and Todd's out. The door's open, and there's a Mexican guy standing above Todd.
Holding your food.
I'm like, no, but I'm like, who is this man? What happened here? Because, like, I had forgotten. And then I realized he had food. And I was like, oh, I thought it was funny, and I bought the food.
That's great.
And then I start slapping Todd, and he wakes up, and I just start laughing at him at what happened.
That sounds like the Quaalude scene from Wolf of Wall Street. Have you seen that?
I've seen it, but I don't remember.
Just that they're like Jonah Hill and like
that was a wild scene.
Yeah,
it's a funny story though.
That's
right?
A great story.
It's a classic like Three's Company story.
Where's that delivery man now? I wonder if he tells that story. He goes, I showed him to a place one time. You're not gonna believe this. There's two guys, you know what I was thinking about? We've talked about shooting Wellbutrin, and I think the most offensive thing I said was the thing that you pitted me into a corner to say about playing at the basketball courts.
What?
I still regret saying what I said.
What did
you
say?
You asked what type of people play at the basketball courts.
You didn't even say anything. All you volunteered was that there was only one other white guy.
But you were angling to get me to say...
Because black guys are good at basketball. What's wrong with saying that? It's
somehow
a compliment.
Chris is like, as young as he is, he's very dated. He has a very, very old world view.
Is there something wrong with saying black guys are good at basketball?
Some black guys are. And so
okay.
Nick.
How about this? If you saw two 20-something-year-old guys, right, and you had $1 million and you had to bet, and they were the same physique, everything. One was black and one was white, but you had to put your money on one of them.
I'm always
for
betting
one-on-one.
Black.
One.
I always bet on black.
I have a funny story, actually.
Not because they're better, but because the white guys, I think they feel guilty to win.
That's racist.
That's the most racist thing I ever heard. How dare you say
something? Well, I'm trying to be funny and racist at the same time.
Wait, so actually, it's a pretty funny story. I went to Foxwoods a while ago, And I went to
Which is a casino in Connecticut.
Yeah, and you know roulette? It's like the little spinning wheel, and you bet on stuff. Well, you can bet on red or black to... you can put your money in red or black, and it's like there's like a 49% chance like a red might win and a 49% chance black might win, and then there's like a 1% or 2% chance that
it goes on the green
goes,
one.
Yeah, and it goes to the house. So I put like $300. It was like max bet on black, which nobody does. Like, and everybody's like, "Oh my god!" And I just turn to everybody and I go, "For Obama," and everybody at the table bet black. And while the wall's going around, everybody's chanting. Black guys are like, "Obama, Obama, Obama," and then it hit black.
Is this a true story?
True story in sobriety.
This is the best story I've ever heard you tell.
I was in Alena Lodge when Obama got elected.
Oh, were
and
you?
The Jersey folk, they weren't happy.
Really?
With that.
Was it the second time or the first time? Second time.
It was the second time.
Yeah. They how about the fucking ping pong players at Alena Lodge?
We didn't have that. We had a basketball.
Oh, we had no basketball, but we had two ping pong tables, and there was like the good players table and the bad players table, and I was the worst player at the bad players table, and I'm like okay at ping pong.
Do you remember Johnny
No-No's? That's how
fucking good
they are.
Do you remember how good Johnny No-No's?
Yeah, he was really good. Or Sleepy Phil. Sleepy Phil.
My god, he was tore it up.
Yeah, dude.
You get great at stuff there because it's like you've that's the one treatment center where they literally deprive you of every possible
It's sensory
thing.
Deprivation
yeah.
for a year.
You're given a newspaper and a deck of cards and told to sit the fuck down.
Shuffle, baby.
Dude, we had the television at night and they had satellite, but literally every channel was blocked except for like four.
Yeah.
Like
it was Criminal Minds.
Like nothing.
Yeah.
And you literally was like, you can watch television from like 6:45 to like 8:15. It was like, you couldn't even get like a real show in.
I read the New York Post front to back every day. Every word. I was reading like Elle McPherson and shit like that. And I was like...
Dude, when I was there, there was a shitload of American Airlines pilots. It was like the last stop for American Airlines pilots. They
like
sent them
drug addict pilots.
Well, like drunks or and for American Airlines, they sent them to like Hazelden. If they failed at Hazelden, they sent them somewhere else. And then their third chance was they sent them to Alena Lodge for a year. And if they relapse after Alena Lodge, they could never fly for American again.
Imagine your plane driver being drug.
A plane driver is actually called a pilot.
Yeah, he was mad that I interrupted him, so he had to say a dick thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm just saying a plane driver is a pilot.
I didn't even pick up on that.
I know. I could see plane driving one day. I want to hear. I want Nick to tell another story while we have time.
Well, you said you thought of a story when you were.
No, we have a lot of choices. I want to hear.
Did you say you thought of one?
No, he's got good ones here. He's got the Rob Reiner on LSD story, the Woody Harrelson in Texas story. Those are two
good
choices.
What do you
want to
tell?
I can tell those. Yeah. I don't mind.
Just one.
I gotta pee. Should I pee?
No.
I gotta pee too.
Neither of you are gonna pee.
Let's pause and then we get back. Let's do what we did last time.
Pee pause.
Tell the story about tripping with your dad because it's so touching. It's a beautiful story.
Okay, I'll tell that one story and then...
And then we'll stop this episode.
So, I was actually...
Fucking spare the nation any more of this.
Yeah, I go right into it. So I was with a friend from a program, and we were smoking a lot of pot, and he had a tab of acid on him that he said he didn't want anymore. Just one tab. So he gave it to me, and it was like a Tuesday at 9, you know, in LA, and like not the time to trip acid. And being a person with an addictive personality.
Tuesday at 9 p.m.?
Yeah, okay. p.m. I took it.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there, and like I'd done acid before, but like, you know, it was okay. We're smoking weed, and then he goes, "I have to leave." And I was like, "What do you mean you have to leave? Like, it's only been 30 minutes that I took this, and
it's not even kicked in yet."
He's
really.
Not even kicked in. Like, yeah. I think I'm just really stoned. And he's like, "I've got to go back to my mom. She has to see me. Like, yeah. She has to see me get in bed." Da 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 da. So I said, "Okay, fine." So now I do start feeling a little something, and I'm like, "Okay, maybe this is placebo. I don't know. I'm just gonna go try to calm down, like watch some TV." Yeah. So I turned on Eastbound and Down because I love that show and I think it's funny and like. I started to get really upset. I started to get really sad and really like bad. And I started to have this thought process of like, I'm tripping by myself. God forbid I do
a horrible thing, like they, you know, jump out a window. Yeah, I get so, you know, disillusioned that I do something crazy. So I was like freaking out, like, you know, and it was all mixed into the trip. And it was just around that time when, the, you know, the Cleveland House of Horrors, where that guy Ariel Castro held those three women.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that somehow worked its way into the trip.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck this. I turned off Eastbound and Down. I ran up to my room, and I started to put on cartoons. And I was just, like, looking at the light switch. And I was like, am I just flipping out, or am I on acid right now?
Right.
And the light switch just goes like this. And it just becomes 10 feet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, holy shit, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
So I, in my acid mind, I'm like, what do I do to
reduce the
damage of this?
How do I think my way out of this?
So, yeah. So basically, I was like, if I'm alone, any number of terrible things can happen. It's best for someone to know about this. And my parents had already been through a long process of in and out of rehabs with me. So, you know, like, they'd see me do coke and heroin. So I didn't feel like saying I was on acid would be too big of a deal. So I walked into my parents' room. The lights were off. They were asleep. And I said, guys, I have something to tell you. And they're like, whoa, what is it? And I was like, I took acid tonight. My mom was like, oh, I can't deal with this. Fuck this shit. I'm going to bed. And she, like, ran downstairs and went and slept on the couch. And then I'm with my dad, and I'm lying in bed, tripping my ass off,
yeah,
thinking about the Cleveland House of Horrors.
Yeah.
And he's like, calm down, buddy. It's okay. You, I used to do this in the 60s.
Yeah.
It's, you'll calm down eventually. It won't be forever.
Yeah.
And I was just trying to, like, and he just talked me down for, like, 8 hours straight.
That's really sweet.
Acid. And they never grilled me for it. They never, you know, and it just sort of was like,
well, I think if I were parents and my kid came and volunteered information like that, that's, like, a really good way they handled it. Instead of being punitive, you know what I mean? They just were, like, helpful.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you sat in the, you and you were laying in bed, were you in the same room as your dad? Or?
Yeah, we were lying side by side on a bed.
Oh my God.
Looking up at the ceiling while he told me about the 60s.
Oh my God, that's wild, dude. That's a good story.
Did he put music on or anything?
No, he just sort of, like,
talked. Did he give you orange juice?
To enhance the effects? No, he didn't. He just talked to me.
That's sweet.
It's a very sweet story.
It's a good
sweet story,
yeah,
and a very unsweet podcast.
Well, I don't even know.
Well, I think we were good. I like it all. I think it's ultra real.
I don't like any of it, except for Nick's story at the end.
Yeah.
The only part I like.
You didn't like the first 45 minutes?
No. No, and I really didn't like that.
I really like your neighbor's music. I think it's going to add
that,
a nice little beat.
All of a sudden, I'm hungry, I'm angry, I'm lonely, and I'm tired.
And then, you know what that did to you? It did the same thing that John did to me.
It's so loud.
Yeah.
It's unreal to me.
All right. Well, let's all say goodnight.
I also want to say that Nick's impression of Rob Reiner is pretty great, considering.
I was off that time a little bit.
No,
it
was still good. I could see him. I could see him in my head. And now I want to make an amend. I want to apologize to both of you. Although I am so angry at Chris.
Why?
It's just, it's unreal.
What did I do? I didn't.
I want to apologize though for getting upset.
You don't have to apologize for feeling. You never have to apologize for feeling.
I honestly think you're such the amount of piece of shit that I think you are. It's the sky.
Now, this might be my last appearance on Dopey, but I think that should be the focal point of the show.
I think
I can say bye to Dopey Nation with that.
All right.
Well, do you want to come back on?
I do. I don't think
cool.
Dave does.
Stay strong, Dopey Nation.
Do you want Nick back on?
More will be revealed.
I can't even be honest.
No, more will be revealed. No, we're going to record. We're going to eat, and then we're going to record another episode. All
right.
And that's that.
Yeah. All right. Toodles.
Peace.
Don't say toodles.
Dopey, dopey, dopey.
Oh my God, Nick Reiner.
Nick Reiner picks up the phone.
You're on Dopey episode 83. We didn't think you'd answer.
Oh, I did, because I knew that you'd say that.
Have you heard us calling you on the show yet, Nick?
No, what'd you say?
No, we have this new feature of the show we call Nick Reiner.
Yeah.
And you never answer the phone.
So it's funny. And then your voice box is full too, which is even better.
So I'm like a reoccurring bit.
Yeah, but now you answered the phone. You kind of ruined the whole bit. How are you?
That should earn me something.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. It's good to hear you.
What?
It's good to hear you.
It's good to hear from you guys.
So what's up?
Not a whole lot. I'm in Los Angeles.
How's it going, man? Fill us in. Tell us what's happened since your last appearance on Dopey.
I think you'd be upset to hear that I haven't done much.
You haven't? Have you done heroin?
No.
I'm
I can say.
Happy to hear that.
Definitely not done that. Or coke.
You didn't do coke?
No. I never. Never would.
Did you sniff Adderall?
No.
Did you turkey-based methamphetamine?
No, I didn't do that.
Did you drop LSD in your eyes?
You know what? I almost did.
What was that?
But I didn't.
What was the situation? Who had a bottle of the liquid LSD?
No. I was just offered it.
Oh.
I turned it down, though, because, you know, you can't make those types of decisions when you're older. You gotta learn from your mistakes.
Nice. Guess who we just had on the show?
Who?
Lilo Brancato, you know who that is?
Who?
From Bronx Tale.
He played Cologino in A Bronx Tale.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know that dude?
What?
You know who we're talking about?
I don't. I'm trying to play along.
Are you stoned right now?
No.
He's lying. You're fucking lying. Are you lying?
Am I lying about what?
You smoke weed like Snoop Dogg. You know?
Oh, that's I can say I do that, yeah.
So are you stoned? Are you stoned right now?
Am I smoking this minute?
No. Did you smoke
in the last
3 hours?
Yeah. Definitely.
God bless you. So where are you right now? Tell me where you're sitting. Tell us all about it.
You know, oddly enough, I'm at the Chateau Marmont.
Really?
What the hell is that?
That's where John Belushi died.
Really?
That's right.
That's also where Led Zeppelin raped a woman with a fish.
What?
Wow.
Yes, it's true.
Oh, wow.
A lot of other things went down there. So what are you doing at the Chateau Marmont?
There's a party here.
Whose party?
It's a friend.
Is it
not
Keith Richards?
Deal.
Is it Keith Richards?
Yeah, it's Keith Richards.
Awesome. Sounds like a good party.
All right, Nick. Nick.
What?
Get another story in mind, and we'll call you back. We'll have you on your show again, and you should tell a story.
No, Nick's doing something interesting right now. Besides the party at the Chateau Marmont,
okay.
Nick is making a documentary. Can I talk about that, Nick, or no?
Yeah, sure. Plug it for me.
He's doing this super cool project about his grandfather, comedy legend Carl Reiner, tell us about it.
You hit the nail on the head.
It's like is it a conversation with him? Is it like granddad stuff?
I did an interview with him, and it's also cut with different, you know, various clips. You'll see.
We're excited. I'm very excited about this because anybody, like, it's kind of a cool thing, even if your grandfather's not famous, to do an interview with your grandfather. Like, my grandfather was a meat inspector, you know? And if I interviewed him, he would have been like, your boy would go bang your head against the wall. But he was a funny guy, you know? Nick's grandfather is a comedy legend. So you have that old-timey grandfather shit, and then you happen to have an incredibly...
Best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds. So what is it going to be called? Granddad?
I don't think it'll be called that, but I'll find a name for it. You know what? I'd love to tell Dopey Nation about it when I do.
Is there anything else you might want to tell the Dopey Nation?
Stay strong, carry on.
Right on.
Stay strong and toodles.
He didn't say toodles. He said carry on.
And don't do hard drugs.
Don't do hard drugs. But smoking weed and drinking is okay with the Nick Reiner school of dopey.
Hey, listen, you guys called me. I'm so happy to talk to you, though.
You did a good job. Let's do this again. Come up with another story. And once the documentary comes out, you can tell
a
story.
I'll come up with another story.
Okay.
And are you guys going to air this, though?
Definitely.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Okay. Hell yeah.
All right.
All right. It's good to talk to you then.
Great to hear you. Wait, if we weren't going to air it, it wasn't good to talk to us?
Come again?
Well, you were like, if you air it, it was good. It doesn't matter. Nick, yeah, we love you.
Shut up.
Be well. Fuck you, man. We love you.
You guys.
Be well. Send our best to Keith Richards. And
peace.
Peace out.
Later.
Yes.
All right. That's me, Nick, and Chris. It is extremely difficult to make sense of this story, but I feel like it's very important to show what they were like 8 years ago and what, you know, the nature of recovery versus the nature of addiction and the nature of mental illness and how tragic this situation is. And in the end, I just want to encourage anybody out there who is struggling to please reach out. And I want to suggest anybody who has anybody in their world that is struggling to please reach out to them. We are so much better off when we're together. And, you know, my heart goes out to the Reiner family. And that's it. So if you have anything to say, send it into dopeypodcast@gmail.com. Leave reviews on Spotify. Stay strong, Dopey Nation, and fucking toodles for Chris.
I want to take a walk around the world. I wonder would it do me any good. Until I get some money in my pocket, then I guess I'll just have to walk around my neighborhood. But I want to be good so bad. Want to be so good, so bad, so bad. I want to be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And I want to take a ride up in the sky. Watch as aeroplanes just pass me by. And I want to see a Lear jetliner take a dive. Just to show all of these people what it means to be alive. But I want to be good so bad. Want to be so good, so bad, so bad. I want to be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. And my shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's time to where I stand. Shadow's getting smaller and smaller. And it's time to where I stand. And I wonder would they pay it any mind. I leave this busted city far behind. I'll take the high road, however far it winds. Because peace and love are very, very, very hard to find. And I wanna be good so bad. Wanna be good so bad, so bad. I wanna be good so bad. Bad desire's all I ever had. Damn it, all these suckers make me mad. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had. And these suckers make me mad. And I wanna call my dad. And it's all I ever had. 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 And these suckers make me mad. And it's all I ever had. And I wanna call my dad. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had. And it's all I ever had.